Good morning. Grace and peace to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we embark on this sacred journey through the season of Lent together. The reading of last week's first Sunday of Lent focuses on Mark's opening chapter, where we witness Jesus' baptism, his subsequent temptation in the wilderness, then his urgency to proclaim and the call to repentance, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Today, let's take a leap, transitioning to the 8th chapter of Mark, to encounter Jesus engaging in dialogue with his disciples. He speaks of his forthcoming suffering, death, and resurrection, urging his followers to take up their cross and follow him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts filled with gratitude and expectation as we explore your word today. We thank you, Father, for your promise to Abraham and his descendants that they would inherit the world through faith. We are reminded that this promise is not only for the circumcised, but also for those who share the faith of Abraham, who believe in you, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Lord, we are grateful for the faith of our forefathers, and we desire to walk in their footsteps, trusting in your promises. Amen. How would you respond to that person who is so close to you for telling you of the difficult situation that will happen to them in the coming days, sooner or later? Nothing sounds more challenging than hearing them predicting their impending adversity, which could be their demise for some. An encounter like this might be very confusing and could push you to a sense of instability, and you may feel as though a fog of uncertainty is floating over you. Their words have the power to stir up fear, alarm, and worry. You might be wondering why they say those words, and what all you can do is to accept it in fear, or with boldness in prayer, you may be able to contradict and declare the word of God for that person. For Peter, hearing Jesus' prediction of his fate, that he must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priest, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again, is such a dreadful thinking. Like many of his contemporaries, Peter may have held a particular understanding of the Messiah as a triumphant political figure who would overthrow Roman rule and establish an earthly kingdom. His rebuke of Jesus could have stemmed from a genuine confusion or disagreement regarding Jesus' self-disclosure as the suffering Messiah, which is perhaps likely to contradict his expectation. Peter's rebuke could also have started from a deep love for Jesus and a desire to protect Jesus from harm. Watching Jesus predicting his own suffering and death must have been deeply distressing for Peter, whom he had felt bound to protect his beloved teacher and friend and a champion for the oppressed, for they saw several miracles performed by him. It may be also possible that Peter's rebuke was influenced by spiritual forces, seeking to distract or derail the mission of Jesus, because Peter had just made a profound confession that acknowledged Jesus as the Christ. But the truth is, Satan has sought to use Peter's voice to persuade against Jesus from the path of suffering and redemption, prompting Jesus' strong response, "Get behind me, Satan." Whatever the precise motivation for Peter's rebuke, Jesus corrected Peter's misconception in his response to him, rather than criticizing Peter personally. Jesus took this as an opportunity to teach, explaining that humanity could be saved only through his suffering and death. In the end, Peter's admonishing serves as a reminder of how easy it is for people to misinterpret or challenge God's intention when it doesn't suit their needs or expectations. We must also understand that according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, we are fighting against spiritual forces that manipulate and motivate people rather than actual individuals. Jesus went straight to the source after realizing that Peter's response to his prophecy was driven by his adversary, which is Satan. Let me ask you, how would you respond if a family member or person within your circle of influence throws false accusations or actions you do not deserve? Understand that the source of those false accusations is Satan, and not the person, and this can be a part of our cross to bear as followers of Christ. We can get wrongfully accused and insulted by the accuser, just as they did to Jesus. But remember as well that the Spirit is in you. So if you hear or witness such accusations or insults, your fruit will be of love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We must be aware of the scheme of the enemy to test such as this. Otherwise, we'll get hooked in anger with an evil response and perhaps to the extent of unforgiveness and strife, which will overturn our perfection, resulting in stagnation and even backsliding. God sees our struggles as believers, equipping us with his full armor, just as Paul said to the Ephesians, and I quote, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness as shoes for your feet. Put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of this, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Jesus presents us with a challenge if we call ourselves his followers. His instruction is to deny themselves, which means a radical reorientation of one's priorities and desires. It's a call to prioritize God and his kingdom in all that we do. His second instruction is to take up the cross. The cross during Jesus' time indicates suffering, shame, and even death. By taking up one's cross, it is accepting the obstacles and trials that come with following Christ. Working with glass is not only difficult, but also dangerous. And Judy Roll can relate to this as a skilled stained glass worker. You must wear glasses to protect your eyes when working with the glass. And many special tools are needed, such as glass cutters, glass grinders, and pliers. Small pieces of glass must be cut exactly to the right size. Sometimes the glass breaks in the wrong place, and you must be careful that the glass doesn't cut your hands. Even though working with stained glass is difficult, it is worth the effort because the end result is a beautiful, inspiring piece of art that can cause us to think about God's love. Part of our gospel reading today teaches us that following Jesus is a difficult thing to do. Jesus said, "If anyone want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Jesus warns us that to follow him is like carrying a huge, heavy cross. Even though you chose to follow Jesus, there may be times when you have difficulty making the right choices and doing the right thing. You may get discouraged. Others may make fun of you. You might think it is just too hard to do. But it is worth the effort. In much the same way that stained glass is beautiful and inspiring, so too will your life be beautiful and inspiring to others when you show them God's love. Just as light comes gleaming through stained glass, God's light comes from within you, shining out for others to see. Remember how Jesus called Matthew while sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Matthew got up and followed him, leaving behind his tax booth and income. Being a follower of Jesus implies an ongoing intentional commitment to walk in his footsteps. Living a life as his disciple, continually growing in relationship with him and learning from him. You might be going to ask me, how's that possible? In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, it is written, "This book of the law must not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." The psalmist also said in chapter 119, "I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. And I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." I will end with this inspiring story of Mary Slessor, who gave her life to mission works. Born in 1848 in Aberdeen, Scotland, she learned resilience and determination from her early years, which helped her during her years in Nigeria. Since her childhood, she heard stories of the Scottish Presbyterian Church's mission in Calabar and was inspired by the reports of David Livingstone. Despite being poor in status, she didn't follow any desires for financial gain. Instead, she developed within her the longing to introduce others to Jesus. She was 27 at the time when David Livingstone died, and she decided to go and carry on his mission to reach every country in Africa. In 1876, she was sent to the Calabar region in Nigeria, where she provided medical care, promoted education, and fought against harmful cultural practices, particularly the birth of twins, which they consider an evil curse. Schlesinger gained respect and trust from the local community, adopting abandoned and abused children and mediating conflicts. Despite facing hardships, her unwavering faith and determination fueled her work, making her a celebrated figure in Scottish and Nigerian history. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of being your child, redeemed by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We declare that we find our identity and worth in you alone, and not be defined by the standards of this world or seek validation from human approval. We declare that we will trust you in every circumstance, believing that you are with us and that your grace is sufficient for us. We place our full confidence in your faithfulness, knowing that you work all things together for our good. Help us to commit ourselves to live out the teachings we received today with unwavering faith, love, and obedience. May your Holy Spirit empower us to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and bring glory to your name. Amen.